WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Special Report. One of the largest earthquakes ever recorded hit eastern Russia. It shook furniture and triggered a tsunami, plus waves as tall as 15 feet led to warnings in Japan, Hawaii, and the California coast. They've all been lifted now. Hawaii County Mayor Kimo Alameda is cautiously optimistic.
We're under an advisory, and an advisory is still precautions that we got to take. We don't know how the energy of the waves plays out with the topography of the islands, and it can be kind of tricky. So we're keeping an eye on that.
Maui County's Mayor Richard Bisson.
Right now, no reports of any damage, no injuries. Really happy with our first responders. Our fire department made a few rescues.
Atmospheric scientist Matthew Capucci.
It's absolutely enormous. The biggest anywhere worldwide since the Japanese earthquake of 2011 and the sixth largest earthquake ever recorded by seismologists. So it's simply enormous.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Stay out of the lake. The National Weather Service says there will be dangerous swimming conditions on Lake Michigan beaches through early Friday morning. It's impacting swimming areas along the Great Lake from Kenosha north to Sheboygan. Strong winds coming from the northeast are driving waves as high as 6 feet. The Weather Service also has an air quality alert running today through midday. Ahead of an emergency meeting of a Milwaukee Common Council committee today, the city's police union is speaking out about ongoing issues. There's been an increase of violence which has impacted the downtown Water Street area. In response, a committee has called for an emergency meeting to ask police for answers. The Milwaukee Police Association says officers still don't have a contract after 2.5 years and that they're working through chronic understaffing. A statement from the police union says the problem with a lack of officers is especially hitting the same downtown area that's set for discussion today. The union is calling on city leaders to back up their talk about public safety with solutions like paying officers the same rate as others in the region. One person is dead after a police chase on Brady Street last night. A crash happened just before 9:30 when a driver fleeing police crashed into another car, killing a 29-year-old in the car hit. The driver of the car fleeing, a 22-year-old, was injured but taken into custody. The Domes will still have a home in Milwaukee. Today, Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley and County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson will sign legislation approving $30 million in funding to restore the Mitchell Park Domes. The project will be a public-private partnership. The Domes Reimagined project will repair and reglaze all three Mitchell Park Domes to fix water leaks, upgrade mechanical systems, and to enhance the surrounding area. Construction is expected to start in 2027. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A house divided. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where things got a little testy. I asked quarterback Jordan Love if fights on the practice field can lead to division in the locker room.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, this is football. We got a big team. It's not like basketball or any of these other sports. These guys are battling every day, O-line, D-line, they're banging every day. So there's going to be some chippiness on the field, but at the end of the day, you got to be able to dap each other up and you know, find ways to compete through the whistle and understand that we're a team at the end of the day.
The Badgers football team at UW-Platteville for the next couple of weeks to begin preparing for the season. Head coach Luke Fickle.
We got to use it the best way. Just because you're here doesn't mean you use it the best way. There's great opportunities with facilities and things like that. But in order for us to do this the best way, you know, our guys got to spend time together.
Baseball, the Brewers and Cubs today in Milwaukee. The Crew winning last night 9-3 to take a 2-game lead over Chicago in the standings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and tonight. We could get a quarter to a half inch or more of rain by the time everything winds down late tonight. High today, 73. Tomorrow, sunny, 75 on Friday, sunshine with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Matt Nair on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for childcare in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us to talk about funding or not of Planned Parenthood. Hour number 2, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06. It's nice to have you here up north for our 8 o'clock hour on this Wednesday, July 30th. Parker Olson produces us down in Madison in Studio A2, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be joining us in just a sec. Coming up shortly, we'll be talking to Civic Media's Earl Ingram about his podcast, What's Going On, including some of the guests and stories that they are telling. Then in our next half hour is our weekly climate check, where Melissa Baldoff and I talk about climate headlines. Well, we're bringing in a little help this time around. Melissa and I will be talking to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. You normally hear him Friday mornings, and of course he has Amicus, the show of his, every Saturday and then replayed on Sunday mornings. And we're going to talk about the climate crisis in courts around the world and here in the U.S. and looking for other ways to prod along the process of, you know, not killing our planet and seeing if we can get it done in courts instead of in Congress. That's ahead in the next half hour. But first, back to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who is following some rain, essentially working its way from, Wausau to, or not Wausau, what am I trying to say, La Crosse to Stevens Point to Appleton. Anywhere south of there, you got a little busy radar, except I thought there was something wrong with my radar, that the screen was kind of like fuzzy. And then I zoomed out and I realized that's like almost all of Wisconsin's covered in a watch box for air quality. It's going to be one of those days again today, Brittany.
It really is. I mean, it depends where you are in the state. If you're up north, you're going to be battling the thicker wildfire smoke. The air quality is unhealthy. It is in the red levels right now, pretty much from Green Bay through Wausau into Eau Claire and north. So those are the areas that have less likely chances of getting rain today. Now, a pop-up shower or storm is possible later this afternoon and into this evening. A very, very small chance, like a 20% chance. But I'm throwing it out there just so it doesn't surprise you. Also this morning up north, foggy conditions, spots of sunshine, but again, those rain and storms pushing through the southern part of the state. Right now, it's pretty heavy right outside of Milwaukee. In the next 30 to 40 minutes or so, the heaviest of the rain will be over downtown, and we are looking at anywhere from a half an inch to an inch and a quarter from this just little wave pushing through. And we've more rain throughout the afternoon, and it continues into this evening before it winds down far south overnight tonight. So we could see some flooding potential. There is a watch in northern Illinois. We are kind of included that on the state line as well. Now, the watch hasn't been issued, but I'm letting you know that the precipitation values are definitely there. We could get up to 2.5 possible. So some gusty winds too, up to 50 miles per hour, have been seen early this morning. Again, this is for far southern parts of the state today, where you're seeing that system really track through up north. We're seeing that northwest breeze and that wildfire smoke. But highs all across the board today will be in the mid to upper 70s. The further north you are, the warmer you're going to get. Further south, the more clouds and much cooler. But overall, tomorrow, the rain clears on out. The wildfire smoke wants to stick around, but we stay crisp and comfortable.
I feel like, yes, you're getting it all out of your system. You and Mother Nature are telling you all the stuff. And then tomorrow, it'll just be quiet. We'll just be talking about more tranquil weather. We won't need as many verbs and adjectives for it all.
I can't wait.
You've definitely earned it. Thank you, Brittany. Yeah. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Let's turn our attention now to Earl Ingram. He's got the What's Going On podcast. You can get it over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows where you can see not only all of the, you know, regular weekday shows, the weekend shows, but also special podcasts as well. And we are very blessed to have Earl doing that for us. Earl joining us now to talk about what he's working on this week. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Pat?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Let's start by looking at the podcast here that you're working on. And the working title I see here is Dreams Deferred. And I want to hear more about the decades worth of community issues that you're looking at in the latest edition of your podcast.
So Dreams Deferred is a book that describes 6 decades of discrimination against African Americans in the trades, especially the construction trade industry. And it certainly has been an area that, you know, has brought some alarms to people who've been talking about this for a long time. The trades happen to be an area where there's a strong middle class reality that is garnered from the trades: a steam fitter, electrician, plumber, carpenter. Those types of jobs are guaranteed strong middle class. They don't require a college degree. You don't have to go into debt to become a tradesperson. And once you become a journeyman tradesperson, like they always say, they can never take that education away from you for life. And the other aspect of this is, while all other jobs seem to be endangered by AI, the trades are one area that aren't ever going to be taken away by technology. And so they've been able to find and track this and see that these trades have basically, once you're in, your children are in, your grandchildren are in, and this is passed down through families. And unfortunately, like so many other things, blacks weren't involved in it early on, and so they're not involved in it now. And where this becomes a big issue is when there are contracts that are governmental contracts, that, and taxpayers, that don't include people of color.
Is it when you talk about, you know, it says here, the promise of a people is postponed, rejected, or overlooked. And you talked to a couple of NAACP members who authored the book Dreams Deferred. What is it specifically? Because, again, like you said, you can't take that education away. Is the problem attaining the education, or that once they have that education in skilled trades, that it's hard to find work?
Well, so what actually happens is there are many people who are qualified through the educational process. What it is once you get that education, now you must go yourself and seek employment. And there is no automatic in if you have it. You have to go to some firm or some company and try to get in. And so that's where the problem lies. There is no tracking of that. And so, you know, it's between you and you brokering the deal yourself with whoever that company is, that construction company is, or whomever. And so, you know, there is no tracking of that, and that's where the problem lies.
Okay. We're talking to Earl Ingram, and he's talking about his podcast, What's Going On. You can get that at civicmedia.us/shows, or just go to the homepage and click on shows. And Dreams Deferred includes the guests Frieda Webb and Paul Blackman, and that's one of the topics that you can find in Earl's podcast. But, Earl, I also wanted to ask you about an ongoing problem in Milwaukee that is so overdue to be addressed. It gets talked about a lot, and it's pedestrian deaths from reckless driving, but also from police chases. And it just, again, seems like, I don't want to use the term, how is this a thing? But I almost feel like, you know, the old style police chase is not something that is as necessary as it used to be.
So for over 10 years, I have been outspoken about police chases. I've never understood why, with the new technology, police have to chase, you know, wayward guys in these cars who are running away from police. I'm not supporting any criminal activities. What I'm saying is, why endanger the lives of innocent people because you want to make a collar? And so now I think we're up to about 7 here in Milwaukee already this year. But this is, again, a national issue. And the fact that, you know, there are different ways, you know, that you can make this happen without chasing someone through a red light. Well, I know the police say, well, we saw that he was driving recklessly and we chased him, and we saw that it looked like he was going to keep going and he's doing 80 miles an hour. And now we finally called it off. Well, you should have thought about that before you start chasing somebody in a heavy populated area at 3 in the afternoon, where people are getting off work or innocent citizens are crossing the streets. And so this, again, is not a solely a Milwaukee problem. This is a national problem. And if anybody wants to look it up, it's been going on for a long, long time all over this nation. And it we're at a point where something has to be done. And now there are people who support it until it's their loved one who has lost their life.
Well, yeah. And again, you don't, it's not, two wrongs don't make a right is what I'm trying to say here. You don't save lives by going after a reckless driver by also engaging in reckless driving. You're simply encouraging the problem when, you know, there are ways through, again, there's license plate cameras, there's all kinds of other tracking, there's drones, especially, you name it, that we should be seeing a reduction in these kinds of episodes rather than an increase with such deadly results. There's one more episode I want to ask you about. You have your friend Dr. Omar on, the pharmacist, occasionally, just talking about, you know, promoting good health practices. And I always enjoy seeing that because, again, we can talk about politics all day. We can talk about the problems in our communities all day. But every so often, we have to be reminded to take good care of ourselves. And I always like that you make a little time for that as well.
So this episode is really an important episode because what happens is there are people who are being turned down. A doctor prescribes medication for you, and Medicare or other insurance companies are the arbiters of whether or not you get that medication. And so there's this situation that occurs where, okay, so the doctor prescribed the medication for you. You're waiting to get the medication. You go to the pharmacy. The pharmacist says, well, this hasn't been okay. And so time goes on, weeks go on. You don't get the medication that was prescribed to you by your doctor. And now you're caught in this black hole between the insurance company and the doctor. And I'm sure many people in your listening audience have had to deal with this. So we address that issue. It is an ongoing problem, a major problem between the insurance company and the doctor on whether or not they're going to cover medications that are prescribed by the doctor. Really important conversation that we had.
Okay, and that's the point, is to be, you sometimes you've got to be your own best healthcare advocate and get that advice and that guidance from Dr. Omar the pharmacist and from Earl Ingram on the What's Going On podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us, click on shows and look for it and subscribe there. Earl, as always, I appreciate the chance to catch up. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great rest of your week out there.
You as well.
All right. Thank you very much. A local update is going to be coming up next for some of you. And then when we're all back together in about 15 minutes or so, we'll have our climate check segment with Melissa Baldoff, including a special guest this time around. because we're going to talk about the ways that climate issues are finding their ways into courts increasingly, both here in the States and in other countries. And even the World Court is taking on the issue of a changing climate and what constitutes justice for people whose health is being imperiled by those who care less about our climate and our atmosphere than they should. That's all ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years, to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Earlier this morning, we were having a discussion about the importance of local reporting and how it plays a huge role in keeping us up to date with what's going on in our communities. And the Racine County Eye is among those great sources for local news. That's why Don Rosen sat down with their founder, Denise Lockwood, to introduce a brand new reporter to their team.
And good morning. It is time to talk to Denise Lockwood from Racine County Eye, and you brought somebody real special with you today.
A brand new reporter. A new to us reporter.
Right. People know him. He's been on the planet for a while, but
A day or two. So I brought Grant Ritchie with me, and he is our Report for America fellow, which means we were able to qualify for a grant to get a grant.
Is that how that works?
And so Grant is our education reporter, and he's been doing a fabulous job. He moved here, Don, from Ohio, which, you know, I grew up in Ohio, too. So he's been here for all of a week and a half, so be kind to him.
Welcome.
Thank you.
This is radio. We got to talk.
We do.
Well, welcome. And how did you get Racine County Eye? How did that work out for you?
Yeah, so I originally worked in Mount Vernon, Ohio at Knox Pages, which is a local newsroom in Knox County, Ohio. It's about 40 minutes east of Columbus, which is our capital. And was looking for a new job there. Worked there 3 years with Report for America. So My regional manager, Vincent from Report for America, he called me and he brought up that there was an opportunity at Racine County I. And it all happened pretty quick. I think it happened that Friday, and then I got hired that Monday. So happened pretty quickly. So
now you can be honest. Did you know where Racine was?
No. I did not.
No. Because when I first moved here from Atlanta, I had no, they said, oh, you're going to be near Racine. Yeah, where's that?
You know what? You know what's funny is that so I grew up about maybe half hour, 40 minutes from where Grant was, and my ex-husband said, "Hey, I want to move to Wisconsin." I was like, "Dude, what's in Wisconsin besides more cows? Like, we have all of the cows here. We don't need more cows." And he's like, "No, no, it's a really nice area. I think you should take a look at it." And I was like, "All right, fine." And I fell in love with Racine.
Look at you.
I know.
Very mushy.
35 years later.
Okay, so you've got the job at Racine County I. Mm-hmm. Did you know exactly what it was? Because it's not a newspaper like the old print and newspaper. It is the newest form of news gathering. Because newspapers, they're still valuable, but they're not the future. This is the future, online news. Mm-hmm. So did you know what you were getting into?
Yeah. It's pretty similar to what Knox Pages was when I worked there for 3 years. All digital.
Digital, that was the word I was looking
there
for.
There you go. No paywall, things like that. So... it was a pretty smooth transition from my previous job to this job that I kind of knew what I was getting into.
So why journalism?
I asked him that same question.
I mean, I know why I took radio because I didn't want to work for a living and deal with the public.
Yeah.
So I know why I took this job. Uh-huh. Why did you take journalism?
Part of it is not having the same routine every single day. There's like something new every single day. You're talking to different people, writing a new story. I did like writing, but I didn't like want to be like an author, write books or anything like that. So, always liked asking questions too, and kind of letting people know what's going on in their community too, and kind of unearthing some stuff. Gets me excited doing that. So I would say that it's that hodgepodge of things.
Do you like digging up the dirt? I mean, that one story where you say, "I got them. They were lying to me all along," and you get to print the paper like Watergate. And I'm sorry, did I use a reference that was maybe a little too old?
I know what Watergate is. Still scouty Watergate.
the Lincoln assassination. I mean, do you want to get that scoop?
Yeah.
Do they still use that word, scoop?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think... journalists, you're lucky to have a few of those in your career, those big stories.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it's like part of the excitement, like having like a going from like a meeting and having a big story, or getting like your records request fulfilled and scouring through that and trying to find something from that. It's pretty exciting.
Now you're working on
education,
yeah. But there's a story you're working on right now.
There's a couple of stories I've written. We have mostly covering the Racine Unified School District, and they have a board meeting next Monday. They're going to be looking at some pretty significant legislation, I guess you would call it, with some solar panels they're thinking of approving for the district and some other things there. But yeah, I've written a couple of stories so far.
Well, you know, your boss over here, Denise, was working on one for the Raymond School District. That was a big story. That went on for quite a while.
It's still going on.
So what's the latest on that?
So actually, Heather Asiambi is working on that. We're really monitoring things and looking for financial responsibility. Are they going to be okay, right? Because they were facing a significant shortfall in their budget. And we want to make sure that they're looking at things critically, but also making sure kids get what they need. So they're going to have some staffing issues. This is not a big school district, but they really needed to understand like their purpose and make sure that they're focused on the things the financial solvency of the school district is something we're continuing to monitor.
If you want to listen to that entire conversation, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Don Rosen Show, and you can find it there. Download it to your device and listen to it whenever, wherever you want. If you'd like to find out more with Racine County I, go to RacineCountyI.com, RacineCountyI.com, to find out more about their reporting and get caught up on everything going on in the community. Stick around because after the news, Pat welcomes Melissa Baldoff with her weekly climate check, as well as James Kelly with his stories from Chippewa Falls. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Milwaukee Common Council committee meets today to confront growing violence downtown after several shootings. Elected officials say they want clear plans from police. The Milwaukee Police Association issued a statement ahead of the meeting saying officers have worked without a contract for 2.5 years while handling rising violence and understaffing. The union is urging city leaders to work out a deal with better wages rather than just talk about public safety. There's a caution for Lake Michigan beaches between Kenosha and Sheboygan. The National Weather Service says there will be dangerous swimming conditions through early Friday morning due to strong northeast winds. Waves could be hitting as high as 6 feet. There's also an air quality alert today through midday. Milwaukee may pay out $600,000 to settle two police misconduct lawsuits. Both claimed rights were violated. Isaiah Taylor's case involves a 2015 stop and frisk, and Antoine Fuller alleges that he was tased and his kids were detained in 2021. The settlements were approved by a city committee, but still need the full Common Council's okay. There's an effort in Madison to stay on top of tuition. Lisa Hale has more.
Republican state lawmakers have introduced a bill seeking to cap tuition increases at the universities of Wisconsin. The public university system recently approved a 5% increase in tuition for next year, the third year in a row that tuition has increased. The proposed legislation would cap future tuition increases to no higher than the rate of inflation. It's the third time in recent years that Republican lawmakers have attempted to cap the tuition. Tuition and fees make up over half of the system's yearly revenue.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Three Body Problem is moving forward with a 2-season cast. The show about a Chinese scientist who inadvertently signals aliens, then discovers they are headed towards Earth and will arrive in a couple decades, was a critic's darling after season one. The scientists band together with a detective to help stave off an existential planetary threat. Claudia Dumit and Ellie DeLang join the cast. Season two of Three Body Problem drops in 2026 on Netflix. Here's a Pete pick. It's an oldie, but a goodie. For whatever reason, I never got around to watching the show Dexter until this past weekend. The Showtime drama thriller about a forensic scientist who is a serial killer, but only kills those he deems deserving, is at times suspenseful, thoughtful, and complex. The show dropped in 2006 and ran for 8 seasons. If you're looking for mystery accompanied by some dismemberment, you have several seasons to binge, and all of them can be streamed at Paramount+. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and tonight. We could get a quarter to a half inch or more of rain by the time everything winds down late tonight. High today, 73. Tomorrow, sunny, 75 on Friday, sunshine with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Madison Mustard Museum curator Barry Levinson. Then Appleton's Kim Mothy joins to talk Mile of Music. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Quick reminder here that Up North News is a separate entity from our friends at Civic Media. Up North News is part of Courier, a pro-democracy newsroom with outlets in several states, including Wisconsin. Also affiliated with several newsletters, podcasts, video series. Let me tell you about a couple of them really quick. You know, our friend Mark Jacob is here on Friday mornings. He has a newsletter called Stop the Presses, all about how right-wing extremism has exploited the weaknesses in American journalism and what we can do about it. This week's issue is entitled, Why the Washington Post is Dead to Me and Why I Haven't Canceled the New York Times Despite Its Flaws. And then there's Control-Alt-Right-Delete by Melissa Ryan, a weekly newsletter that is also devoted to covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. And her newsletter this week is titled, Swapping Satire for Substack. Stephen Colbert is out, and legacy media continues to erode. So get those and all the other products put forth by Courier over at couriernewsroom.com. So we mentioned Mark Jacobs normally here on Fridays. So is Jim Santel, a former U.S. attorney, but he's with us right now, along with Melissa Baldoff for this week's Climate Check. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good. It's nice to introduce you to Jim here because we've been talking a lot about how since the Trump administration took office, we don't get to talk anymore about initiatives coming out of Washington, D.C., coming out of Congress. And so instead, the battle for a better climate has moved to the courtrooms. And Jim's going to fill us in on cases across the U.S. and, frankly, across the world. But Melissa, let's start with you just to illustrate that, look, even when there's a hostile entity like a president or a Congress, there are still different ways to do work. We've said at the local level, for example, courts are another option. There's always an opportunity to try to do better and try to have a better, I guess, planet, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, there absolutely is. You know, there are always opportunities. You know, you just look to, you know, the local and state governments that we see doing work. You look at, you know, neighborhoods and communities who are committed and who haven't given up and are continuing the fight and are not letting, you know, what's happening at the federal level stop them from continuing to move forward, because what we can't afford to do is put our progress on hold for 4 years because we don't have partners in DC anymore. We know that's not what the rest of the world is doing. You know, they're going to be, you know, leaving us behind. We're going to be outliers here again by not taking the climate crisis seriously and by, you know, refusing to acknowledge it. And by, you know, in fact, the Trump administration yesterday, you know, moving to, you know, repeal the, you know, scientific declaration that acknowledges that humans are driving climate change. You know, they don't want to acknowledge anymore the just basic science. So, yeah, we are having to look to others to see that progress, because we're not seeing it from the federal government.
Which really makes it an issue, Jim, of justice. And so we can talk about the U.S. cases in a sec, but you were the one that alerted me that even the World Court is involved in the climate crisis to a degree. Tell us what they have been doing and talking about there.
Yes, this is the International Court of Justice. We sometimes call it the World Court. It's at The Hague. And just last week, a 15-member panel of the court, a unanimous court, basically said an awful lot of things in the legal sense that Melissa just commented about. They find that the failure of nations, yes, that includes us, but failure of nations across the globe to take action to protect our climate system generally may constitute, as they said, an internationally wrongful act. That's an awful lot, awful close to coming to describing those that kind of conduct as criminal. Also finds the protection of the environment is a precondition for, get this, ensuring human rights, and cited the support of by governments of fossil fuel production as a potential violation of human rights. And again, this is the first time that the World Court, this is a part of the United Nations, has spoken out about this. It is a big deal, and it plainly sends a message that legitimate judicial people looking at this just, they just roll out of bed some morning, they conducted hearings, they had what we would call trials, and they come up with this conclusion, not only about the obligation, but if you don't do this, what you're doing not only to the planet, which is number one, of course, derivatively us, and also to human rights, which is a fascinating way of looking at that. As Melissa just said, then we've got juxtaposed to that, our Environmental Protection Agency here in this country going in just the opposite direction, rescinding this 2009 notion, endangerment finding. It's the basis upon which all of our attempts and our undertakings to address greenhouse gases have proceeded. It's basically that way of ensuring that tailpipe emissions are somewhat reduced, that the EPA is rescinding. And for that reason, the rules that would encourage electric cars and encourage a diminution of our air pollution, that we're abandoning here in America. Completely different approaches, one plainly completely wrong, one sending us some inspiration and some motivation to do something about this horrific problem.
And Melissa, when we talk about this from a human rights and a legal standpoint of other nations being wronged, there are different ways to come at this. It's not just that, you know, in some other nations, smaller nations, that now their air is dirtier. But frankly, I can say this from my short time living in the Cayman Islands and in other countries, you know, they did not do anything to exacerbate the fact that sea levels are rising and endangering, you know, their very way of life, And it's no longer like some incidental thing like, oh, we didn't understand that our smokestacks were going to cause problems for your countries. They now know. The science is there. So I feel like there's, for laymen like you and me, there is a strong underpinning for a case to be made in court about, you know, getting countries to be more responsible with their emissions, with their output, with their conduct overall.
Yeah, absolutely. This isn't a situation, like you said, where we're not aware. You know, the U.S. is one of the, you know, we're one of the biggest polluters in the world, and we are very aware of what we're doing. You know, the science is there. Everyone, you know, for the most part, maybe, I guess not everyone, but, you know, most people are acknowledging that this is what is causing the emissions are what's causing climate change and causing these adverse, you know, health impacts that are leading to adverse economic impacts. You know, we're aware of it, right? There's no argument that anyone is presenting. There's no serious fact-based, evidence-based arguments to the contrary to say that humans aren't driving climate change with our actions and what we're doing. There's no other fact-based, evidence-based argument here that anyone is presenting. So it is incredibly, I think, very selfish and irresponsible that we aren't taking any steps to mitigate this, not only you know, for what we're doing to people in this country, but what we're doing to the rest of the world. You know, we have a responsibility to everybody. You know, it's kind of, to me, it's like what we know about, you know, smoking cigarettes now, right? Like, you know, it's not just harming you, it's harming everybody else if you're, you know, smoking cigarettes, like in a car with kids, right? Like, that's not just harming the person that's smoking the cigarettes, you are exposing the kids in that car to all that secondhand smoke, which is going to be dangerous to them too. So, you know, I think we have to be really mindful of what our actions are in this country and how they are impacting the rest of the world, because it's not, we're not isolated here. What we do is impacting everybody else.
And Pat, if I could follow up on Melissa's comment about harm, it is stunning to hear that this administration is withdrawing what Melissa and I have talked about. You've also commented about this rescission of the endangerment finding. You know where they're justifying this? They're saying that the present climate regulations that Melissa's talking about actually pose real harm to human health. Why? Because it will lead to higher prices and reduced consumer choices. That's the basis upon which they're rescinding these regulations. It's a stunning turning up on its head of the whole notion of harm beyond our borders and to other people.
Oh, it's Alice in Wonderland type stuff here, Jim. So let's move from the world court to more traditional courts here in the States. But I noticed that there was a similar case in Italy, but there are cases in New York and in Hawaii. And they're in court because you have what? Essentially a group of plaintiffs saying that these companies and or these governments, again, know that there are dangers, and yet they're creating hazards anyway. Congress won't do anything about it, so we want this court to do something about it. Is that kind of capturing what's happening in these state lawsuits?
That's capturing it perfectly. And thankfully, our environmental laws in this country do give private parties, entities, individuals, groups of people, it's called a private right of action to bring these lawsuits. All they need to show, of course, we've talked a lot about this, Pat, is standing, which means, have I been endangered? Have I been damaged in some way? And they plainly, in all those lawsuits you mentioned, say, yes, indeed, by virtue of what, and you fill in the blank, whoever the defendants are, the producers of the environmental harm, they are causing me harm, that's standing. And now I am asking this judicial branch of our nation, different states, to come in and direct these defendants to do all kinds of remedial things. That's what the EPA standards have always traditionally been about. That's the basis upon which the Congress has, in prior years, passed legislation, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, all those kinds of things. That's the basis upon which these are proceeding. We know as well that just in the last term, the previous term to this one, the Supreme Court basically smacked down the Biden administration when it came to its good neighbors policy. Again, following up on Melissa's point, this notion that there are portions of our nation, typically us, the Midwest, that produce these horrific gases in our airs. They drift across the country, prevailing westerlies, and affect other parts. Supreme Court said last term, that's too much, that's too big, that's too novel. President can't do that. Only Congress can do it. Well, if that's the case, then Congress is not acting. Private individuals have got to get into the fray here, as they have been doing, and attack this problem.
So final question, and I'll have to throw it back at you, Jim, and because I'm sure Melissa's wondering this too. I mean, we saw this happen with big tobacco, that eventually it was courts that said you are liable and you need to fix this somehow. Is that something we could eventually be seeing with, you know, fossil fuel companies and or governments?
Yes, absolutely. And especially if we get what's called discovery and we find out in these civil cases, not criminal cases, civil cases, we get the emails back and forth, those memorandums that we've seen in those other cases that say, hey, we know we're doing this. But again, money is our big factor. We've got to supply revenues to our shareholders. That kind of motivation, that prompts courts. Again, I'd like to believe even in America, the 2025 and beyond, to do things, to enjoin, to stop those companies from doing what they're doing, subject to appeal, subject to review. But that's the way that these matters are being handled, again, especially since right now, as you said, our own administration not taking these important issues on.
Melissa, I'm always glad to talk to you about climate issues, but I'm kind of glad you and I decided to check in with an actual attorney on this one. I feel smarter for it. We can talk about these things all day long, but somebody's actually got legal underpinnings for a segment like this. Jim, thank you very much for joining us. I'll talk to you on Friday. And Melissa, thank you. We'll talk next week.
Great. Thanks.
All right. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And if that's the case, I'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. for the rest of you. Some final news and notes from around Lake Wissota, including Civic Media's James Kelly. After this, you're up north.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had 6 times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at SCORE.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Civic Media has an absolutely wonderful and award-winning news staff here at the network, and you can find their work at civicmedia.us/news. And part of that team is our new news director, Sholly Pittman. She joins Jane and I on Mondays to talk about all the news we may have missed over the weekend on Matinee on Air. And this week, she discussed the formation of a task force that's taken on an issue in Wisconsin that's been underreported for far too long.
She is Civic Media's news director. Sholly Pittman is here to break down all the news we might have missed. And this, Sholly, I think is really important. This missing, this new task force for missing and murdered African American women, the statistics are really pretty shocking.
Staggering. Wisconsin has the most disparity across the country, according to a study for Black women aged 25 to 44 years old, according to a study in The Lancet, were 20 times more likely to be killed than white women. And those are some of the statistics that were raised at a press conference last Friday. Dane County Representative Sheila Stubbs has introduced similar legislation before to create a missing and murdered African American women task force. It hasn't gotten traction. It hasn't passed outside the legislature. This task force would analyze the issue, take a look at why Black women and girls in Wisconsin have these disparities, both being killed and
disappearing.
And missing. Disappearing, exactly. And at the press conference at the Capitol on Friday, there were posters of women who had been missing or killed, including, as we'll get to, the mother of Sade Robinson was also there and spoke. But this task force doesn't necessarily need the legislature. And I think that's a little bit of a nuance that's interesting. The Attorney General, Josh Call, whom we were just talking about, mm-hmm. Doesn't need the permission of the legislature to create his own task force. But he was asked about why go through this process. And then he had two responses, one being, look, we want the state legislature to be part and parcel of finding solutions to this crisis, and we want to be funded. We need money for one person in the State Department of Justice to coordinate this task force, to track down testimony, to get 17 members in a room, and to help prepare a report. So that's where we are. But as I said, there was very powerful personal testimony from a number of affected family members. I want to highlight Sheena Scarborough. She's the mother of Sade Robinson, who was killed last year and dismembered.
Yes.
And she spoke, you know, this case received high national attention, was very high profile. The person convicted of killing her is facing a sentencing this Friday. But maybe we focus too much on the trial and not the systemic solutions out of that. And so let's hear from Sheena Scarborough, the mother of Sade Robinson, after maybe some of that media coverage has ebbed.
You know, there weren't many other supports during this time. I didn't really have anyone to guide me through how to even understand what I'm going through. I've never even been arrested before. Like, we've never dealt with the law system. We've never dealt with law enforcement. It's been so severe all across, and it takes every layer of both ends of the table. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter if you are Black, you know, Republican, Democrat, religion, it doesn't matter. These are our babies. This was my daughter. She was a granddaughter. She was a sister. She had her whole life ahead of her. My angel worked two jobs. She had her own apartment. She is just graduating from Milwaukee Area Technical College. She had just received her Associate of Arts degree. My youngest daughter had to walk in her honor. So many things have been taken from us. She was taken away weeks before her 20th birthday. We had so many plans and so many things to do. I've worked so hard to raise two beautiful, intelligent daughters, and we have done nothing but put out good into the universe, helping others, being advocates, and then for somebody to come and tragically take your child in the worst way is the worst nightmare anyone can imagine.
That's the mother of Sade Robinson, who, again, was murdered and dismembered last year in Milwaukee. And I would have to think, too, Shelley, one of the reasons why this case got so much attention is because of the horrific nature of this case.
Yeah. And Sheena Scarborough described the amount of support she got from the community and from her family, but maybe a lack of infrastructural support. And that was a theme that other speakers hit on, including Tanisha Howard, the mother of Janiah Walker. They're all, despite these horrible tragedies, showing up to advocate for a task force to prevent these things in the future.
Well, and
so you can find more at our story online at civicmedia.us.
That's Civic Media's news director, Shali Pittman. She's our guest every Monday at 9:35 to go over all the news we may have missed over the weekend. And you can also catch her stories by going to civicmedia.us/news. Stick around, because after Pat, Matt and Aaron Air with Jane and me, Greg Bach, is coming up, and we welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, the host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, as well as Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, to do some recombobulation with us, so you want to stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to waukradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Wednesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. A tsunami warning for Hawaii and the entire West Coast downgraded after one of the largest earthquakes on record hit eastern Russia. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Malibu.
When you talk about the panic that came from the sirens, bumper-to-bumper traffic for hours this morning, there is now relief after evacuation orders have been lifted.
The economy was growing again in the second quarter. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
According to the government, GDP, gross domestic product, that tallies up all the goods and services sold throughout the quarter, increased at an annualized pace of 3%.
President Trump says not only will his tariffs take effect Friday, he'll impose a 25% levy on India because it buys Russian oil. In the streets of Birmingham, England. Thousands of fans paid respects to Ozzy Osbourne as a hearse carried the Black Sabbath frontman's coffin through his hometown. His family was there, too. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.